What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I'm one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I'm the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 41. How was your week, Micah?
Really good, man. A lot of good gaming, a lot of games out, period. A lot to talk about this week. So how about you? How was your week?
It was good, man. Just moving towards getting into the new house soon. And my wife is actually graduating from college tomorrow. We're recording on Friday, but she is actually... Oh, actually, her graduation is next week. Sorry about that.
Next week.
Yeah. Cool. So next Saturday, she'll be graduating. She was a hairstylist for a long time and went back to school and decided she wanted to do something different. And after a lot of late nights and a lot of hours working hard, she's graduating. So, yeah, man, a lot of changes in the Porter household.
Congrats to Nicole. That's a huge accomplishment.
For sure, for sure.
So, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, dude, we have a lot to talk about this week. First of all, for our two cents, did anybody get Battleborn? Me, Sean, and Clarence did.
Ow!
And I've already put in like 12 hours. No. In this game, it's a pretty hard, unforgiving game when it comes to the campaign mode, bro.
Yeah,
I was playing with Clarence, and I played just on my own because they have an option to go through those story missions by yourself. And I failed a mission twice. And what happens when you fail a mission? There's no going back. If you fail an objective, that's the end of the mission. They just give you experience for how far you got. Now, if you die, you have lives. If the objective is still, like, if you're defending a shield and the shield's still there, you have, like, extra lives. But if an objective gets destroyed, that's it. And it takes you, like, 40 minutes to get to the end of that mission. So it's pretty unforgiving when it comes to the story mode. But we have a lot to talk about. I mean, this isn't a review. But we definitely played a lot of it, and I know Sean has some things to say about it, too. So, I mean, what do you think about the story so far in Battleborn?
You know, I really appreciated the aesthetics of it all so far. It's they did a really good job with their beta, I felt like, giving a glimpse of what the game would be. It's a lot more in-depth, obviously, now that the full game's out. Yeah, man, so far I'm really liking it. I got this like, cool figure with my game when I went and bought it at GameStop. Traded a bunch of games in for it. So far, really enjoying it. I really liked the intro story that they had. I didn't know this, but I guess they had a comic book release before the game came out. And it's definitely like the like in-game theatrics are kind of I'd say definitely anime reminiscent.
Totally anime reminiscent.
Yeah, and I mean, all the characters are kind of drawn that way anyways, but it's very done in a very heavy anime style, I guess. But I really liked it. I thought it was great. The music was phenomenal. The story is like kind of every other story, but so far really good. The character development has been really good. Really enjoying the PvP. The story mode, I would definitely agree with Micah, is it's difficult at times.
Yeah, I really agree with you. The beta, man, just bravo to Gearbox, man. That beta for Battleborn was so good. Granted, it's a different play style and it's something new altogether. So it is going to be interesting and fun and exciting. I mean, pretty much no matter what. But they just did a really good job of... This is just a unique game. It's just... It is a MOBA, but it's not because it's like first person. And the MOBA isn't exactly like with towers like League of Legends per se. It's not exactly like that, but you still have like minions that generate down lanes. And you have a supporter and a tank and attack and... you gank people and all that stuff. So it is a MOBA, but there's a lot of unique things that this game has that some MOBAs don't have. For instance, the campaign and story mode, which I enjoy despite the difficulty of it. It's a lot of fun, and I love a good challenge. But yeah, the player versus player, Sean, we're not very good at. We're were pretty shitty. There's three game modes in PvP. I think there's one called Control. I'm forgetting the other two, but it's pretty much, it's pretty fun. I like all three of the game modes, but it's just the players are so good, and I don't want to. I mean, maybe we just suck, but we still have fun playing it, and we still have a good time. We're getting better. You really got to learn what gear you need to equip, you know, and you need to master a character for sure. So PvE is a blast too. As far that's what I account to is you can do co-op missions in the game itself, but the characters are a blast. If you are on the market for new generation video game, if you have an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, go get Battleborn. It's a lot of fun.
We've mentioned before the MOBA of choice for PC, or I guess for computer base. We both played on Macs. For me and Michael before, was League of Legends. And that also had a pretty steep learning curve. I mean, it took a while before we actually got good enough. We were winning matches consistently playing PvP. So I think this is the same way. I don't think it's as steep as League of Legends. League of Legends definitely had like a stronger base before we started playing, so there were people who were phenomenally good that you played against, whereas this,
right,
we're not that far behind. Like, I feel like we're catching up quickly. But yeah, there's definitely nuances that we have to get better at as far as like adapting and developing our character and finding the right character that fits your need or what your skill or level or play type. But yeah, man, so far I am really enjoying it. It definitely can be frustrating like any MOBA, as you kind of, I guess you do work, you grind at it to get good. But yeah, that comic I had mentioned, it's actually like a interactive online comic. And it's actually really cool. It's really well drawn and it's kind of fun to go through, and we'll put the link in the description so you get an idea of the backstory for the game. But definitely would recommend it so far.
They also actually have an app for the game as well. I didn't look into what it is specifically, but you can earn experience from the app for your character. Another game that did this most recently was Star Wars Battlefront. It was like a card game they had on an app that you could play and gain experience from winning in the card game that would translate to your real account with Star Wars Battlefront. So that's kind of cool that you're starting to see video games kind of do that. Good way to get experience if you're just on your phone dinking around. So I'll have to check out that app too before we do a full review. Probably next week we'll have a review for you guys. So, but yeah, Battleborn, good game so far. Really great game.
Great game, yeah, definitely. Mikey, you actually got Overwatch with you got a Overwatch beta with your purchase of Battleborn, right?
I did. So Sean got a cool little plastic character, which I was super jealous about with Battleborn. The GameStop I went to, I don't know if they felt bad for me, if they ran out of little Battleborn things to give out, but they gave me two passes for Overwatch beta. And my buddy Chloroformic Freddy, that I play a lot of Call of Duty with, him and another buddy of mine are like obsessed for Blizzard games. They're like dedicated, loyal fans. So they're like out of their mind for Overwatch. So I gave him the other beta key and he's been playing it like crazy. I've been playing it not as much. I've been just hooked on Battleborn. Probably put like 5 hours into the Overwatch beta.
Nice.
It's not a MOBA at all. It's a total shooter. And it doesn't come with a campaign, as everyone knows. It's fun. It's definitely got that Blizzard feel to it. Hard to explain. I mean, every character is so unique and different. This game was definitely made to just jump in, Sean.
Yeah.
It's just literally plug in the game, pick a character, and go shoot people. That's the game. It's a lot of fun, but it's something that has that Blizzard thing that it's easy to learn, but hard to master. That's the best way I can explain it. fun game. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, the game mode is pretty much, it's not team deathmatch. You kind of have this wagon that you have to escort to another side. So one team defends and the other team attacks and tries to destroy it. So just kind of a tug of war of kind of trying to protect this moving target. But it's fun. I mean, the graphics are great. It's a solid shooter as far as specs go. Feels really good. There's a wealth of characters that are fun and just a good overall universe they've created for this little game. So I'm excited for it. I still feel like Battleborn is a lot more fun than Overwatch, but that Overwatch is just a beta, so it could be a lot better if there's more game modes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, like, not to throw you on the spot, but say once Overwatch comes out, somebody goes up at just your first glance of these two games, what would you recommend somebody? I only have $60, like, only buy one. Which one do I buy?
It's hard to say because I'm a different gamer. I enjoy really detailed oriented games with gear and statistics and, oh, what will this gear help on my character and this and that. Like, if you want a detailed game that's going to challenge you and really something that you can sink your teeth into and learn a lot from, Battleborn's your game. If you are a Call of Duty fan, an avid Call of Duty fan, or a Halo guy, and you just want to jump in and go, then Overwatch is totally for you. Battleborn definitely takes patience to learn. Overwatch does not take any patience at all. It's instant gratification. But it's fun. It's a very well-made game. So it really just depends on what type of gamer you are. They're both great, solid games, I think, though. It just depends on what you're looking for.
All right. Well, I'll take that. Another game in our two cents that just came... Oh, it didn't just come out, but it just came out on Xbox One. Was DC Universe Online. Me and Micah both, it's free to download initially. We both downloaded it as well as our buddy Clarence, and got some hours in over the last week or two. What are your initial thoughts? You're coming back to this game. You played it originally on PlayStation 3. We waited forever. It finally came out on Xbox One. Is it all that you'd remembered? Is it different? Is it not as fun as you'd remembered? Is it funner than you remembered?
It's as fun and as addictive as I remember. It's just, there's so many games that came out. Battleborn and Overwatch is coming out, and DCU is very another involved game. It's a fun game, but I wanted to talk about server problems. I follow DCU online, their Twitter page, and I follow, you know, what they put out on their website and whatnot, and they have had major server problems with Xbox One since launch. And I wanted to gather your thoughts on it, Sean. I thought it was they had a harsh launch 5 years ago in 2011 when it came out on PlayStation 3. And this is a really harsh launch for Xbox One. They were not prepared at all. They've even admitted it. I've retweeted it on my Twitter page of they weren't expecting this high of volume for the game. Which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, does it make you as a gamer have faith in the product? If they're like, this game sucks. No one's going to play it. Don't put too many servers on it. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of the vibe that I got from it.
Business-wise, it makes sense to me. I get you're releasing a game that came out 5 years ago on a different platform. I'm sure their best hopes are guests. You know, they probably tried to meet in the middle of what that was. Servers cost money, you know, cost a lot of money to support all that. They could have probably done a little bit better, maybe added a little more padding. I didn't really notice an issue, honestly. Like, I felt like it was a little crowded at certain points, especially when you first started. Some of those early on missions were a little crowded to get stuff done. But there wasn't, like, I didn't feel like there was a ton of lag or, like, I didn't have a hard time connecting other than... So my biggest caveat with the game is, like, it's free to download, but there's, like, a billion things you have to pay for or you can pay for. Pretty much you have to pay for to really advance in the game. So it's, like, skins and traits and characters and powers and all these other things. And even to, so there's like three levels of logging into the game because it was so overcrowded. There was like a free version, which after like the second day became like a 2-hour wait if you weren't a premium member or a member. So you could do a membership, which was insane. It was like 100 something a year. Or you could pay $5, or you could spend $5 essentially, or 500 credits in the game, and then you become a premium member. And then you're able to do the premium member like login, which was great for a couple days. And then it also started to fill up because of the server space. So on that side, I did feel a little bit of frustration. I think that they're wanting too much money out of people. I think there's too much of a money grab to get all these other little things, which I guess you don't have to buy them. And the game is fun without spending a ton of money. I think I dropped $20. Initially, mainly to get into that premium spot, which you only need to spend $5, and then I spent like $15 on just other fun stuff. That's probably all I'll spend for a long time on it. But yeah, man, I think being a hardcore DC fan for as long as I can remember, it's just an awesome game. And the aspect that you're gonna be a superhero in this game, you're gonna create a superhero. I think probably the funnest part for me, honestly, of the game is creating your character and picking its traits and like developing it. It's just by far the coolest thing in the game. The missions and stuff, it's like any other game where you're building up a character like that. Pick one out of a hat, they're all the same. You're doing grind work to advance that character's traits and level up. There's some cool story parts. You meet like a lot of cool characters throughout the game that make it interesting, that keep you going because you get to interact with a lot of like famous superheroes in the DC universe. But yeah, man, overall, I think it's a great game. I'm glad to hear that they're fixing those issues. I know even Battleborn had a lot of server issues when it came out, and they just said recently that they're releasing a patch. Their first patch is supposed to be coming out, I think, next week. So.
Yeah, and I've luckily had no problems with Battleborn. I did have problems with the DCU. I have gotten booted twice, which isn't, I guess, so bad, but because they put you in a queue and you have to wait your turn to get back into the game, I waited like 45 minutes just to log into the game, and then I got booted again. I was like, fuck that, I'm not waiting another 45 minutes to get back in there. But the premium wait, even the premium wait, Sean, was getting to like 15-20 minute range.
Yeah.
So that was frustrating. And they have they just tweeted out today they were shut down for a couple hours to double the server space. So they said since launch they've doubled their server space.
Wow.
For me, I think I understand what you're saying, it costs money and all that, but the damage that it does, Sean, to not be prepared for that, you lose a lot of people who just, I mean, the consumer gamer is very, very fickle. Very fickle. And if it's not instant gratification and you don't really get your hooks in them as a game designer and as a game developer, you need to get them addicted to your game, bottom line. And you're not doing that successfully if you have people rage quitting, because it takes literally, I mean, 200 minutes was like the queue time the last time I saw for free people. And then premium was, yeah, like 20, 25 minutes for people who had paid. So you got to fix that. If you're going to get people hooked, you gotta get those queue times down to a reasonable time. So, and they've apologized and they recognize that, but I mean, as professionals, I mean, you should have, I don't know. It just seems like you should have been a little bit better prepared for that. But the game is still a blast. If you have Xbox One, I still highly recommend getting it. Go spend $5 so you're a premium member and you don't have to wait in the queue times that are that bad.
Yeah, and not
it's
to
still
mention
a great game.
Yeah, not to mention, like, I get your point too, Micah, but the game has been crazy popular. I mean, if they're having to double the size of their servers, obviously a ton of people are playing. Every time, yeah, I've ever gone to a queue, it's like you're next in line after 80,463 in the free, you know. Yeah. So they're definitely, yeah, killing it. They're, for a game that came out 5 years ago, I mean,
Still banking money.
Yeah. Insane. Yeah, the graphics aren't phenomenal by any stretch of the means compared to what we got today. And it couldn't have been that hard to upgrade your game to play on this platform. So it's all it's got to be all profit for them right now, which is just crazy because there are a ton of people playing. And I know a ton of people are just dumping money into this game.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I definitely, I you know, you read the Twitter.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And there's a handful of people, I guarantee. I mean, tens of thousands of people are playing this game, but I'm sure there's a few hundred that just are like, fuck this, I'm not dealing with that, and then just found something else. So, but overall, it's still a very successful game on the Xbox One. The thing I like about the most, and then we can move on, I know we weren't, you do a whole podcast on DCU Online, it's so much fun.
Our two cents took 20 minutes.
Right.
Here's our $3. Loot.
Yeah. The loot system is really fun, and you can really customize how you look. I love that about the game. I mean, you can really be an individual in that game, and I really enjoy that about it. So
totally you customize your character 100%. Yeah. You could even have like a like your own lair, your like own hideout, which is fucking cool.
Yeah. Which is really cool. And then you can get stuff to put in your lair, and it's just really, it's a fantastic game. So
it's probably the nerdiest thing we've ever done.
It's the best free game ever. Like, for what they give you, they still give you a lot for free. So yeah.
No, the game itself is completely free. Like, the money outside of, you probably have to spend at least $5 or you're going to never play the game because it's going to take too long. But outside of that $5, you can level everything up on your own. It's just going to take longer.
Really fun game. Really, really fun. And we'll be bouncing back and forth on that, I'm sure, Sean, for Overwatch and Battleborn and DC. And it's good to have three games in the rotation, you know? So
yeah, man.
It was kind of dry spell there for a little while. There wasn't really anything out, you know?
Totally. Well, you know, speaking of games coming out and everything, let's get into our news of things coming down the pipe. The first thing we had in our news was Call of Duty Infinite Warfare debuts trailer gets savaged on YouTube. Activision responds. So what's up with this, Micah? What's going on here?
So we talked about last week Call of Duty, and there are all these rumors floating around, and we recorded it on Friday, and then a lot more news came out after we had recorded that episode. So Call of Duty is releasing that they have a new game coming out called Infinity Warfare. It's coming out November 4th of this year. They debuted the trailer for it. It is a Call of Duty game set in space. So it came out on Monday, so we recorded it the Friday before that. So we were catching up again. But it had more than 8 million views. And let's see, it had 370,000 dislikes and growing. So it is one of the most disliked videos on YouTube. That's not good if you're an investor. That's not good if you're Activision. I mean, they're still going to be fine, but I mean, they want this game to be successful. The franchise is a frickin' cash cow, and they want to continue that. But me and Sean are in total agreement, and a lot of other gamers are. People from IGN, people from Polygon, all agree. The whole futuristic warfare thing is just kind of played out.
Well, there's just so many people that do it better. I mean, if I want to play that, I'll go buy Halo. Overwatch, or what? Well, not Overwatch, but like any of these other games that are out there that do that, so that their whole franchise is that. Like, why try to butt into that space?
Right. Yeah, and I mean, Black Ops 3 is futuristic and advanced warfare. You know, I mean, the previous two Call of Duty games that came out, but Black Ops 3 and the Advanced Warfare. Are pretty much the same game, as far as they're set in the same genre of advanced futuristic warfare. So you got to think to yourself, how are we changing and inventing things? You know, they responded, you know, they said, right now the franchise has never been stronger. We have more people playing Black Ops 3, a game that takes place in the future, with boost jumps and futuristic weapons, than any other game in our history. We know for sure that all we know for sure is that if we always just did what worked in the past and never took a creative risk, we wouldn't have a successful franchise. And there's truth to that. I mean, the numbers don't lie. The revenue, this is going to be disgusting to say. Activision posted record earnings for its first quarter today with revenues of $1.46 billion for the past 3 months. That ended in March 31st. So they are right. They're like, you guys can bitch and moan all you want, but you guys are paying for it. So we're giving you what you want. And they're kind of right. I mean, I'll probably end up getting Infinite Warfare. I mean, if not just to review it or whatever. I put in a lot of time for Call of Duty Black Ops 3. I don't play as much now, but I mean, they're kind of right. I mean, I am sick of it, but Call of Duty does that very well. But it will hit a wall eventually, right, Sean? I mean, it doesn't matter how well they do it. It will hit a wall where they'll have to change the genre up, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, honestly, I didn't buy the last Call of Duty game, and I probably won't, and I definitely won't buy the go into space version. Just not interested in it, man. It doesn't appeal to me at all. It doesn't ring with their franchise what I liked playing about it before. I think, obviously, if 370,000 people watched your video and disliked it, that's probably, even if half those people don't buy your game, that's still a pretty big dent. And that's just out of the people who watched it. So, I don't know, man. You could say, like, oh, yeah, we're doing great right now. Like, well, you're at that cusp, and you're about to jump over that cusp. And people are telling you this is a bad idea. We don't want to see this game. Change it. Like, I don't know. I think that's pretty arrogant on their part. I know Call of Duty is one of the biggest games franchises in the world, but I'm over it. I won't play it, so.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, I don't know. It's a mixed emotions for me about what I think about all of it, because I'm sick of it, but at the same time, man, I did play the shit out of Black Ops 3. I mean, I put 50, 60 hours into that game, played a bunch of multiplayer online prestiged 6 times, I think. So, I mean, it's a fun game, but
Black Ops was fun, but yeah, Modern Warfare I thought was dumb.
So, I mean, even the Call of Duty Modern Black Ops 3 that I just bought. I dumped a ton of time into that. So, and that speaks for the money that they earned. I mean, almost $1.5 billion. I see what they're saying, but yeah, there is a cliff they're about to jump off, and it won't last forever. So, it is a little arrogant.
That's a big jump, saying like booster packs and like a little bit in the future to like, oh, full on Space Odyssey. Like,
yeah,
that's a huge jump.
Yeah. And there's not much more they can change. I mean, as far as loadouts, they added the whole specialist thing, and that was obviously a success. But, I mean, you really can't change anything more. They've already done everything. So, but this is good news for Battlefield. We have Battlefield news that I cannot wait to talk about later in the show. But Sean, maybe that'll give room for Battlefield to maybe take the place of Call of Duty and be a bigger giant, because they're kind of the little redheaded stepchild right now. Call of Duty is definitely more successful than Battlefield. I mean, it is. I mean, when you look at the numbers of people that play Call of Duty compared to Battlefield, it's astronomical.
Well, so. The last versions for sure. Battlefield kind of had a swing and a miss.
Yeah, Hardline was nothing.
But that, I mean, that should, more than anything, that should be a cautionary tale for Call of Duty to be like, oh, you know, Battlefield just tried something different and it failed horribly for them. Maybe we should rethink this. Like,
right.
I don't know.
And we'll keep that in mind for when we talk about Battlefield at the end of the show, because that ties into this story, I think, a lot. So
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it comes out November 4th, so if you're still a Call of Duty fan, get excited. But yeah, moving right along in our news, Star Wars has found its new Han Solo, Sean.
I know.
And all I can say is he looks like a young Han Solo to me.
Yeah.
But it is still unproven to me. The only one I saw was Whiplash that he was in. But yeah, how do you say his name?
Alden Ehrenreich. Ehrenreich?
Ehrenreich?
Yeah, Ehrenreich. Yeah, Alden Ehrenreich. He, yeah, the last big movie he was in was actually Hail Caesar. I only saw previews for it, I didn't actually see it. But he looked cool in that, I guess. Like we both said, we thought it would probably be better to have a not so well known actor, which he definitely is. So I think it would probably be, I don't know. On that side, I think it's good. There's not a lot of preconceived notions of who he is. So I think he'll lend himself well to be a really well established character. He definitely looks like Han Solo, like you said. I'm excited for it. He's like 26 years old, probably fits the role perfectly. Looks like that. He's been in a couple of movies, so he definitely has acting chops. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think they definitely took their time. They made that very clear. I mean, they sat through 2,500 auditions, and yeah, this guy is the guy who got the part. So, I mean, what a huge thing for him. I mean, this is a life-changing role. I mean, he'll never have to do anything again. I mean, even the Star Wars actors that were god awful still, and you know, they get a check. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I'm excited that they finally casted somebody, and it makes me excited for this Han Solo. I mean, it's not coming out till I think 2018. They said, long time from now.
It's one of those like side stories.
Yeah, it's an origin story about Han Solo. But yeah, I'm excited. But I knew that we had talked about that. I wanted to bring that up. Other than that, there's not really any more news. They just found their Han Solo. Yeah. So
after going through everybody in Hollywood that was around that age. So
literally. Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of auditions.
That's kind of encouraging though that they're taking it that seriously, that they went through all that to find the perfect one. So
yeah, absolutely.
Big ups to them. Maybe not as cool movie news, I guess. I don't know. Different movie news. We'll go that route. Power Rangers suit up for the first time in a new photo. Unlike their 90s counterparts, the new Power Rangers won't be wearing spandex-looking costumes in Lion Gate's upcoming movie. In the first official photo, the crew is in their iconic outfits, published in the Entertainment Weekly, the spandex, blah, blah, blah. So the new outfits are like these very metallic-looking, like almost Iron Man-esque outfits. Have you seen the picture for these guys yet?
Yep. It looks like pretty much the helmets, I think, are a lot like the Power Rangers, but the suits look like Iron Man to me.
They're just all their traditional colors. I did hear that there was like a lot of backlash because like they gave the girl Power Rangers have like heels, like wedges.
Yeah.
So they're like, why? In the original, they were all flat-footed, they all were equals, and now this one, they made them very, like, anatomically, you know, their suits have boobs, and they have high heels and stuff, which was kind of dumb on their part. You would think in the temperature of the, of Hollywood and stuff right now, and in our environment, you would be a little more mindful of that, I think. I don't know.
The original Power Rangers, I was a kid. It was the late 90s, and I loved Power Rangers. I think there's a lot of people like me that are just 90s kids who think, you know, not like diehard fans, but they're like, oh, Power Rangers, they're making a Power Rangers movie. Oh, that'd be cool. It seems to me like it's just going to be like a Transformers action movie. The director was talking about how their outfits are... They didn't go with spandex. They wanted to go mechanical because he explained that they morph into the animals. It's not like a magic thing where they just like transform. It's like it's a mechanical thing. So I think that's why their outfits look that way. They definitely explained it to be that that's why they didn't do the spandex. I'm not necessarily like stoked for this, but Entertainment Weekly, I mean, it did get a lot of attention. And it was the picture I thought was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, that might be actually an okay movie. We'll see. But definitely something to talk about, something to bring up, because I thought, you know, Entertainment Weekly did a whole page and article on it, and everyone's freaking out. We should at least bring it up. So
yeah, I'm a few years older than Micah, a couple years, and so it was just like just coming to be when I was like a little too old to be in power. Nah, I mean, I get it. There's people still out there older than me who like Power Rangers. I get there's a huge cult following of it, but yeah, I just missed it. I missed that craze. So yeah, not interested at all in seeing this movie. I think it's cool that they're bringing it back, and I know that there is a huge cult following of it, and I'm sure they're pretty excited. But like we've said a million times, anything and everything that they can remake, they will. So
yeah. And speaking of remakes, we've talked about Green Lantern a lot and how the Justice League is pretty much assembled with Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Flash, Batman, Superman. But they haven't gotten a Green Lantern yet, Sean. So there's still all these fans like trying to cast things and make these fake casting pictures of who they think would be a good Green Lantern. And I know Tyree Gibson is kind of the front runner for kind of the John Stewart Green Lantern.
Oh, sure.
Which would be a great casting, I think, by the way.
I think that Michael B. Jordan would kill it.
Michael B. Jordan would be pretty good. But yeah, so there, Kevin Smith tweeted out an image that a fan had made, like a fan image of Ice Cube as Green Lantern. And he endorsed it. He's, you know, he was very adamant, thinking, oh, Ice Cube would be an amazing Green Lantern. So that kind of got some attention. I wanted to bring it to you. I have it on Clarence's word, and I agree with Clarence. That's a horrible idea. Ice Cube would make a terrible Green Lantern. So I don't know what Kevin Smith's talking about, but what do you think?
I think Kevin Smith is, first of all, he's a comedian. Second of all, he's a ginormous pothead. So I don't think he was serious about it. I think people take things too literally and too like seriously. I think he was just joking. It's a funny picture, and it would probably, yeah. I mean, I don't see it. It's not really in character with any of it. So I would assume probably more than likely he was just like, oh, that would be funny.
Just stirring the shit pot.
Just stirring
Kevin
that
Smith
shit.
Style. And that's true, and it could be totally whatever, but you never know, man. People throw out shit all the time. That was crazy. I mean, if anyone ever would have said, oh, Ben Affleck would make a great Batman, I'd be like, you're fucking crazy,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, everybody did say that when it was announced. Everybody.
Right. Well, and some people still, it was a mixed response. I mean,
sure.
Which is still stupid to me, and I hear all these Civil War reviews, and it just pisses me off, even though I'm going to go see it tomorrow. Yeah. I'm still pissed, because I'm like, why is everyone hating on Batman? Why is everyone hating on DC? I don't get it. Ugh.
For sure,
but, man. No, Kevin Smith. Ice Cube would not make a good Green Lantern at all.
I would agree with that. I don't think he would, I think it'd be kind of, the thing that it did spark in me was I thought it would be cool to see an older Green Lantern, like
kind of brooding like Bruce Wayne.
No, not even necessarily brooding, but just like, you know, what if Green Lantern was older? What if John Stewart was an older man? You know, like an what's that guy's name? Aegis Elba. You know, just older, more wise, yeah. Not so rushing into the trouble that Green Lantern's kind of known for being a little too go-getting sometimes. So it'd be cool to see like a wiser version of Green Lantern and like, oh, I fought all these battles and I've saved the universe a million times and now I'm here to help again.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because who would play Hal Jordan? I mean, Hal Jordan is very renowned as in the comic book world, not a serious character, very jokey.
Yeah.
Very making fun of people, funny lines here and there. So it would be cool, a different take, but that might not be true to the comics and fans might freak out about that. John Stewart, I think, is probably more serious. So if they wanted to do a serious Green Lantern, don't even touch Hal Jordan. Just do, you know, just do John Stewart.
Which I'm guessing from everything I hear and all the rumors, it just seems like everything's heading towards Jon Stewart.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm fine with that. I think that's a different take. I think the Ryan Reynolds thing, they just want to stay away from it since it didn't do well.
And just adding diversity. I mean, I think it's hard to sometimes find, just because a lot of comic book heroes come from like the 50s. So trying to find like diversity in that's sometimes hard.
Yeah.
And what a great opportunity to do that, and a loved character by all. So
yeah. It'd be definitely a good direction to go, but we'll see. Still want to hear about what they're doing though with that, because he's a huge part of the Justice League. So,
well, back to gaming news. Microsoft will kick off its annual E3 press briefing at 9 o'clock ET or PT on Monday, June 13th. The company announced today. Microsoft seems like the only area that Microsoft's really making advances in is gaming. PCs kind of died down. Their phones are pretty much non-existent now. So it seems like they're really clinging to Xbox, which is great because the one thing they got right, they really got right, in my opinion. So I'm really excited to see what comes from E3 and all the news releases and press releases that are going to come out of June 13th.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely just wanted to mention it really quick. I put it in the show notes because... it's exciting. I E3, there's always big news that comes from E3. There's always good gameplay footage that comes from E3. And I mean, you never know. I mean, people are even, I mean, everything's rumors, so you have to sift through the bullshit, but, you never know with, another console they might hint at. We're kind of getting to that point where we're like a year or two away from hopefully really far away, because I don't want to get a new console. Phil Sims, or not Phil Sims, Phil Spencer is the CEO of Xbox. He had talked about how you would just buy a card that you would change out, and it would become a lot like a PC in the future, as far as your console goes, but a lot more easier. Who knows? Maybe we'll hear more about that. I just am excited for E3. I think there's always great, great news that comes out of there, and I'm excited, and it's right around the corner. So,
absolutely. All right. So to the news that we've been waiting to talk about this whole night, Battlefield 5 was in the works, and it finally came out with a trailer, and it's actually gonna be called Battlefield 1, which I cannot wait for.
Yes. The trailer is outstanding, Sean. I think they did a really great job with the trailer. I watched part of the live conference with one of the CEOs at DICE and lead game designs. They were kind of switching on and off with other people that just were involved in Battlefield 1. And they're talking about, you know, the mistakes that they've made, where they've come, what they wanted to do. And Sean, they are officially doing World War One, so we're moving back.
Oh, and they listen to us. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's huge, huge news. I mean, huge news, because there's a lot of gamers who are crying out to go back to the World War One, World War Two game days, and yeah. I think this game is going to be huge. The trailer makes it look great, and they said it's World War One, but there's definitely science fiction involved in it. They didn't specify exactly what sci-fi about it, but even in the trailer you see a couple of things. That girl riding the horse with the sword, she's got like glowing eyes and kind of looks like a monster or something.
Girl or a guy in the desert, like an Arabian.
Right. No, it's definitely confirmed that it's like sci-fi. Sci-fi World War One type thing. It's a little confusing because they didn't give all the details, just the trailer. But yeah, I'm excited for it. I can't wait to. I mean, they have biplanes that are flying around, and the tanks are really, really old school. And you know, there's a lot of memes because it says, you know, take a horse to a tank fight, because you can be riding horses and fighting tanks. I'm assuming you'll have like an RPG you can shoot at a tank while you're on a horse. That'd be fun. They have Zeppelins. The big Zeppelin at the end, Sean, was really cool to see.
For sure, man.
it's exciting. What do you think about this?
I can't wait. Yeah. So there was a trailer that came out, not a trailer, a teaser, I guess I would say, a couple weeks back. And it was just like a close up of a guy's like eyes, and it was like shaking, and then there was like this big shadow, which I'm assuming now is the Zeppelin.
It's the Zeppelin. Yeah, there was two trailers, by the way. There was one shorter one and one longer one. There.
So that first one came out, and that was when it started, the Battlefield 5 rumors started happening, and everybody was like, "It's gonna be future. It's gonna be past. It's gonna be blah. It's gonna be this," and got a lot of people buzzed about it and worried about it. And then finally the big one came out, and there's like a full trailer, and it's definitely World War One. Takes place over multiple locations. They said it's gonna be over France, the Italian Alps, the deserts of Arabia, which probably means like Foreign Legion type stuff. And then one of the major producers, a senior producer, said, "We are inviting players on an epic journey across war-torn world." Said, God, I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Alexander Crondall, whatever. But yeah, senior producer of the game for EA. It looks phenomenal, dude. Like Micah said, it just looks amazing. All of the graphics, the biplane stuff, like, to think what we have now currently with Battlefield and being able to have all of the planes and vehicles that are part of it, I think it's just going to be really phenomenal. Yeah, can't wait for it, man. I think it's just going to be a really, really great game.
And good news for Xbox holders, it will have EA early access, just like Star Wars Battlefront did.
Yeah.
It will be releasing on Xbox One first. So that's kind of cool. But it launches October 21st for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. But actually, it's coming on Xbox One first. I know that for a fact, because on the live stream they were talking about that, how they partnered with Xbox One to do the EA early access.
Sure.
I don't know if it's like a week or two. I think that's how it worked with Star Wars Battlefront. It wasn't a long period of time that it got out before. But yeah, October 21st, bro. I'm pretty excited.
Totally, man. And something we saw with the Star Wars that DICE put out, we saw these huge, massive maps, and that's going to be something that's part of Battlefield 1. Multiplayer matches hosting up to 64 human players at one time. So it'll definitely be like epic, true PvP battles of just ginormous groups of people.
And to bring back what we were talking about with Call of Duty, Sean, this could be the gap where they take back the multiplayer shooting on consoles. So if you're DICE, you got to be thinking, we got them now, because the market is in your favor. So I think that's going to happen. I really do. I really think that this is going to be a popular game.
Everybody's excited for this. Like, I haven't heard anybody like, "Oh, World War One, that sucks." Like, everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, World War One, this is going to be great."
Yeah,
exactly. Like every major, you know, media outlet. It was really smart to go back to World War One, because then you go to two, you could go to Vietnam again. You're basically starting over. I mean, super, super smart on their part to kind of roll it back that far. But yeah, man.
I'm super excited, man. It's going to be a blast.
I am so excited.
Battlefield has some of my most favorite gaming moments with friends are Halo and Battlefield. Those are the two games that hold a special place in my heart. They're phenomenal games, and I had a lot of fun playing with friends. So I will always love Battlefield, so I'm very excited about this. And hopefully, like I said, it'll overtake the Call of Duty regime that's been going on for like a decade now. So, yeah, man.
All right. So, last part of our show, we always like to do a Q&A. We were recording this on Friday. Mother's Day is just around the corner for us. We wanted to do a question. With Mother's Day coming up this weekend, who is your favorite fictional mom?
Martha.
Which one?
Martha. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Do you know yours?
I don't know, man. There are a lot of moms throughout all of, you know, pop nerd culture.
Martha Kent is pretty cool in the, like, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Like, she was a really great actor.
She's a badass. I don't know, man. If you go, like, cartoon route, you know, you got Marge Simpson, who was always a good mom, she seemed like. You got Linda Belcher from Bob's Burgers. I thought
yeah,
she was
Linda
a fun
Belcher
mom.
Is pretty awesome. She's the funniest by far.
Yeah. Oh, dude, and what was the mom from the 70s show? I always thought she was a cool mom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what was her name? It was Red. Red
Kitty.
Was the dad's name. Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah, Kitty.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah. We got Peggy Hill.
Peggy Hill. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that a good Peggy?
That was a great Peggy. I didn't know you had that in you, man.
I love King of the Hill.
Yeah,
it's
me too.
It's a great show.
But yeah, man, lots of good moms out there. We acknowledge them all. So
moms are the best.
Moms are the best. And on that note, before we wrap up, we just want to say Happy Mother's Day to any moms who listen to this show, which if you do, I'm really sorry. Because we're going to curse way too much for you.
Happy Mother's
thank
Day.
Thank you for listening. Yeah, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to our moms, who probably also don't listen to the show because we curse too much.
Thank God.
And they probably have no idea what a podcast is. Let's be honest.
That's a better point. Yeah. That's a better point, yeah.
But Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Hope you guys enjoy your moms. Thank you guys again. If you guys want to let us know if you're excited for the new Battlefield or the new Call of Duty, what you're most excited for, you can always reach us on Twitter and let us know your opinions or who your favorite mom is in the fictional world. Our Twitter account is @5280nerd. You can reach me personally @SeanHPorter. You can reach Mike @Vash0077. And like always, it helps us out a ton if you rate and review us on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes or Google or pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. But the iTunes one helps us a lot. It helps us move up the rankings, helps more people find us, helps grow the community and build the army. Also, you can check out our website, 5280nerd.com. We love you guys. We hope you have a great week. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks, guys. Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah.